But right now, the white heat of technology. With Fevzi Turkup, the gadget detective. How are you, Fevzi?
You could say without laughing, goodness sake. Yeah, I'm well, thank you.
No, well, I'm just, I was trying to find a new way of putting it. You know, we've been doing this together in various places for years.
I know.
And I was like, the white heat of technology. I don't know how hot or white it is, but, you know, it's certainly hot.
Yes.
I think. I don't know. But, you know, wasn't it Harold Wilson, the Prime Minister, who talked in a famous speech about the white heat of technology? Driving us forward as a nation. And, you know, we all have visions of steel foundries and molten metal.
Yeah.
It was so hot that it was like a river. I don't know. This is the time of night, Fevzi, by the way, that I just drift. I go off on one, as you know. Now, what we're going to do is, if you have, I'm sure you won't mind doing this, Fevzi, but if you have a technology question, maybe you've got a problem with something that you own and you need a resolution for it, Fevzi might be able to give you a steer. So you can ask the question, you can tweet it if you want to, but I'd rather that you came online on 0344-499-1000 at any point in our conversation. But in the meantime, there's an awful lot to talk about. I wanted to get into a couple of technology-linked stories that have been around this week.
Sure.
One of them was a pretty big story about 3 days or so ago, and I'll quote it from one of the major news organizations. Phone companies need to do more to stop fraudsters who spoof phone numbers to trap victims, one of the UK's top law enforcement officers has said. Graham Biggar, Director General of the National Crime Agency's National Economic Crime Centre, says the UK needs a step change in our response to fraud. It costs the economy up to £190 billion a year.
Yeah.
And that's a vast ocean of money. I've often thought, and I do get texts that appear to be from banks, you know, banks that I don't bank with, telling me that somebody's trying to withdraw funds, coming from strange numbers. I get things that come from cloned numbers.
Mm.
And literally, you have to have eyes in your feet to deal with this stuff. And I really expect, or would have expected, the phone companies, all of them, to have my back in this. And I'm surprised to read that perhaps they don't.
Yeah, and the spoofing of numbers is the real key to this. So it's just worth explaining what that is, that you get a call or a text from a number that you recognise and is very often the correct number for that service. In fact, if it's a text and you previously had text messages from or with that particular, let's say, company before, it appears in the same conversational strand. In other words, it looks completely legitimate because it falls into the same conversation that you might have had previously. And of course, it adds credence, because if it comes from a number that you recognize, you're much more likely to fall for the scam. And that's, I think, the key to what the National Crime Agency is talking about here in saying that telcos need to do more with this, because they do. There are technological solutions to this. It will always be a game of cat and mouse between the criminals and the good guys, but I think the good guys have been sleeping on this one, actually, because it is, of course, important for all of us to be aware that such calls and text messages exist, not to share information with people. You know, it's very interesting. You know, you get calls from saying, oh, we just need to take you through security, to which my answer is, well, how do I know who you are? You know, if you've rung me and you want to take me through security, then I have to find some way of identifying you, which is very often, you know, looking up the number for the organization and finding your way back through to that department.
It's a nightmare. I had a lot of this a couple of months ago when I had a specific banking issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I literally was talking to people who were working from home, it later transpired. And I was trying to get their bona fides, and they were trying to security verify me. And I pointed out to one of them that what you're asking me for is a complete suite of identifiers that would be gold dust for any fraudster.
Yeah, yeah. And the difficulty is in identifying them. So, you know.
So there needs to be, I mean, you know, more broadly than what we're talking about in that news story, I think, and you're right, there needs to be some way that organizations can reliably identify themselves, so we're not being led up the garden path and scammed. But also, as you say, this whole thing about faking numbers and cloning them, I've only been aware of it for about a year because I've been receiving some of these things. I am aware of it. But as I heard somebody say on another radio station a couple of days ago, you know, it only takes you to be tired. It only takes you to be vulnerable. Mm. It only takes you to be doing something else. And you will do the one thing, and I've done it once, and fortunately I got away with it. I actually thought something that purported to be from my accountant, who I've been with for years, you know, was from him. And then I realized he would never write like that. But I'd opened the, was it a text or an email? I can't remember. It doesn't matter really. But I'd opened whatever it was by that point. And I was about to go to the next stage with it. And then I realized he would not write like that.
Yeah.
So I phoned him up on an old-fashioned landline phone and I said, is this you? And he said, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about accountants and other business services like that is that you can often get demands for payments and it looks legitimate. It can be on the, even on the, if it's an email, it can be on the letterhead. It can have a PDF and all they do is just change the bank details at the bottom and you pay who you think is a legitimate bill, but you're paying it to somebody for a third party. And when you've done that, you've got very little recourse, by the way, in terms of fraud guarantees and so forth, because it's a push fraud. You've pushed the money out; they haven't taken it from you. So you need.
That doesn't sound too fair. Doesn't sound too fair, Fosie.
It's I tell you, one of the things, the guarantees from banks have been watered down. You know, when you sign up for apps and all of this, you often are accepting a lower level of fraud protection than through conventional banking. So if it were, you know, if you go way back to checks and things like that, you had a far better fraud guarantee than you do now, and they water it down with when they push out new technologies. And the reason for that is, one, they want to water it down, and two, because the technologies are inevitably less secure than what they replace.
And there's this whole thing of, you know, this is not the subject for right now, but it's a fact that a lot of the big banks are closing down branches hand over fist.
Yeah.
They are pushing people to online banking, which I won't do. You know, I work with technology. I understand technology. I just don't want to do it. Thank you very much. So they have to accept the fact that they see me as a bit of a Luddite and I'm a stick in the mud and I won't do it.
Yeah.
But they're closing the branches. And I think what they do is a little cost benefit analysis that they will save such an amount of money by closing the branch and they will lose a certain amount through fraud because, you know, potentially there may be some online difficulties. I don't know the scale of that. Mm-hmm. But when they do the calculation, they're still up on the deal.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, signatures on checks are, you know, often not even checked anymore because, as you say, they do a cost-benefit analysis to say it's more expensive to check the signatures than it is to pay out on the frauds.
Wow. This is the world we're in.
Not that now, you see many checks these days, but you take the point. They don't always check things properly.
No, I issue three checks a year. One to Keith, who does my cars, and a couple of others, and that's four checks a year, and that's it.
I don't know where it is anymore, and I haven't seen a postage stamp in quite some time either. So. Yeah. You know, anyway.
And that wallet of yours seldom appears out of your pocket.
That's no different. It's nothing to do with COVID. Right.
One other quick story before we get into some cool gadgets then.
Yep.
There was something that I became aware of because it affected me. Now, I have to tell you, Fevzi, that I ceased to use all BBC services 2 years ago, very nearly. And you know, I'm still having to pay their license fee, but I don't watch their television or use their radio anymore. I don't feel any less entertained or informed. But I've noticed there is one tiny little bit of BBC kit that I still consume. And it's the only piece of BBC content that I do consume anymore. And that is the BBC Weather app.
Right.
Which is very popular and is actually very good. It's one thing they do incredibly well. And I was finding that for a big portion of last week, half of the locations that I have as favourites were not appearing. It was try again later. And that happened for a couple of days. And I thought, this is a bit weird. So I've got a couple of phones. I tried one of the others. And that was an Android phone as well. Mm-hmm. And same thing happening. Then I started doing some research. And apparently there was a problem with a thing called Android Web View.
Yeah.
Which I think is linked somehow to Google Chrome in some way that I don't understand, that was causing apps like the BBC's weather app, it's all sorted now, by the way, and other apps were causing some pretty major problems for a while.
Yeah, and so where you get the problems which are effectively in the operating system, so Android system WebView is a component of Android, and it's the part that, as the name suggests, allows you to view internet and web data through Android. And where it happens at that level, that's really quite serious, because then it affects everything. It's not like there's a problem with a particular app. there's a problem with the technology that sits between Android and the app and you, and therefore it has very wide-ranging implications. I mean, to Google's credit, they did fix it reasonably quickly. And in a sense, I think it's surprising that these things don't happen more often, the rate at which they amend the software. And you know, these operating systems are now so complicated that there's no single human that understands the whole thing. You know, they're just too big. So, you know, I often criticize Google, but I actually cut them some slack on this occasion because they did put it right fairly quickly, and it doesn't happen as often as it could.
Well, you know, credit where it's due. I've got my phone in my hand right now, and the BBC weather app is always on it. And I don't know if I've tried, while there was a problem, I tried other apps, and they just weren't as, they didn't put it all on one screen, and you had to go searching for things. But I can tell you, Febsy, if you need to know, that it'll be 9 degrees, and there will be some rain on Sunday in Malvern. In Bournemouth, it's going to be 9 degrees and cloudy. And in Port Meirion in Wales, it's going to be strong winds and rain, according to this, in the next hour, 9 degrees.
Goodness.
So that's all. So I'm glad it's all fixed. But, it, you know, it's a little bit of a concern, and you have to go hunting for the solution to these things, or the answer to it.
Exactly. But to be fair, I mean, today I've just had to update all my Apple iOS devices, iPads and iPhones, because there was a security vulnerability in the version that I downloaded days earlier. And not only was there a vulnerability, but criminals were actively using the vulnerability. So, you know, although I am, you know, of the view that the iOS is generally a more secure operating system than Android, all operating systems have these sorts of problems, be it, you know, Windows or Linux or whatever. They all have issues.
And, you know, all's well that ends well, though. It's all right now. It's all, all very good. Let's get into some cool gadgets then. First one is a watch. Talk to me about this.
Okay, so this is from a company called Withings, which is a French technology company, which I think was credited with the first internet-connected scales. You know, and they specialize in these sort of health and well-being gadgets. So, and by the way, they were part of Nokia for a while. They were Nokia Medical for a while, but I think Nokia Medical were not. They were not innovative enough for them. This is a very innovative company. So, it's a Withings Scan Watch. It's a watch, and it's called a hybrid smartwatch. And the reason why it's called a hybrid smartwatch is it looks like a normal watch. It's got a round face, and it's got hands on it. But, you know, so it looks like a conventional watch and a very stylish one. Within that, though, there is a circular OLED display, which is a very crisp display that gives it the ability to display all the smart parts of it. So It is a medical device as well as a watch, because the medical parts of it, of what it does, are actually you know, classified as graded medical devices. So the things that it does, in addition to telling the time, are detect something called atrial fibrillation. It does a basic ECG on your wrist. So you
does
see,
it warn
see
you?
The little trace. Yeah, so it's actually better than the Apple Watch, because with the Apple Watch, which does a form of this as well, you have to ask it to test. So you have to feel the flutter, be aware, and do a test.
This will actually do it for you without you requesting.
This one will sporadically monitor your heart rate, and if it suspects something, it will ask you to do a full ECG, which will take 30 seconds. You literally just put your finger on it and off you go. So the reason why this is important is atrial fibrillation is one of the most undiagnosed conditions. There's probably about...
Is that an irregular heartbeat, Fred?
It is, yeah. But it's about,
I've had it.
Right. So there's about 700,000 people in this country who are walking around who don't know that they've got it, but do. And the reason why it's important to know that you have it is because a person with AF will have a risk of stroke, for example, about six times that of the average. But if you know you've got it, you can make one lifestyle changes, which you should make anyway, you know, sleep better, eat healthier, exercise, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
That'll be in the next life, right? But but in addition to that, there's meds that can be given to control it, and it's much better to know. And if it's severe enough, because it tends to be a progressive illness, you can get anticoagulated, which is a decision all of its own. But it starts with this. The problem is, even let's say you've got a flutter in your heart and you've got the, you know, foresight to go to your doctor. Your doctor may ask you to wear a monitor for a day or 3 days. but you may not have any attack of flutters or atrial fibrillation whilst you're wearing it. And so some people who suspect they've got it go years before there's a diagnosis, and before there's a diagnosis they can't treat it. But when you have a device on your wrist that can do this, then, you know, it can be picked up and it produces a PDF of the trace, which you can share with the doctor and so forth. The other thing it does, which I really like, is it checks for breathing disturbances whilst you're asleep. So this is about trying to detect...
If you have sleep apnea.
Exactly. So it detects changes in your breathing, if your blood oxygen level drops, because it can do that as well. It's got an oximeter in it. You know those things that you normally clip onto your finger to measure the percentage of oxygen in the blood? And there's a lot of talk about
this. Well, I mean, this all sounds really good, though, but I'm just a little worried that, you know, it's going to make people unnecessarily worried about their health, perhaps. We may have a whole new generation of technological hypochondriacs.
Yeah, so this is one of the challenges with this technology, to make it sufficiently advanced so that you don't get the worried well beating down the doors of their doctors and overwhelming the NHS, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the thing is, as I gave the example where it monitors your heart rate in the background and then tells you whether it thinks there might be an issue, it means you don't have to keep checking. And I mean, I've worn these sorts of, you know, watches. I wore the one before this from Withings for quite some time as well. And what I found is, in the beginning, you know, you play with it and all the functions and so forth. But from time to time, it's just nice to be able to check something. And, you know, things like sleep disturbances, people with sleep apnea, if they sleep alone, they won't know that they've got it. I mean, snoring can be an indication, but it is by no means, you know, not everyone who snores has sleep apnea, and not everyone with sleep apnea snores. But
you can see the use for this. You know, I've this last few months of lockdown, I've had terribly disturbed sleeps, terribly.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting to monitor how that's happening. When, you know, I'm waking up multiple times in the night, which I never used to do, it will be interesting to chart when that is, and then I can maybe get a handle on why that is.
So what this does, and it gives you, the app, by the way, the key to all of these things, because Withings do, you know, sleep analyzers and smart scales and blood pressure monitors, all these things are all connected and they all work through the same app, which is called the HealthMate app. And the app is...
And I'm sure other apps and brands are available. We have to say that.
Absolutely. I mean, Apple have been, you know, at this for some time, and they're sort of pushing into the same space. I think Withings is a bit more medically orientated.
Sounds like a very, very useful thing. What's it called? I've got my producer telling me that we're running out of time because we've got to take commercials. What's this thing called?
It's called the Withings Scan Watch. I've given it 4.5 stars out of 5. Two prices, $250 for the 38mm watch face and $278 for the 42.
Okay. Just very quickly, very rapidly then, you know that my quest, we've talked about this in various places for years, my quest for good storage devices that are affordable and effective is ongoing. You may have an answer for me. One.
Yep. So the Crucial X8 portable SSD. So Crucial is the retail brand of a company called Micron, who are one of the biggest manufacturers of memory around. These devices, it's like a sliver of a bar of soap. Imagine a sort of a used bar of soap. It's a small device, fits in a shirt pocket, huge capacities available, up to 2 terabytes of storage capacity, but also very, very fast storage. And if you've got a modern computer that can take advantage of it, so much the better. I noticed this because Apple have launched their lovely new Apple Silicon Macs, which have non-expandable everything, including the storage, and you can pay an arm and a leg to get the built-in storage. But a better solution might be to get more basic storage into a device like that and then have it external on a fast connection. So this particular one's called the Crucial X8. I'm quite fond of it. It's in an aluminium shell, so it actually dissipates the heat quite well, which is one of the problems with some of the faster devices, is if they generate too much heat, they then have to slow themselves down to reduce the heat output and preserve
just
themselves.
Just like me. Femsey, we're out of time. If people want to connect with you, if they want to ask you, well, if they want to wish you happy birthday for starters, if they want to... I know it's not your birthday. I spent years teasing you about
that. People can do that.
One of these days it will be your birthday, Febzy.
Yeah,
and then we'll be exactly on time. Exactly. So you need as much bolstering as you can get. So where do people connect with you?
Either go to gadgetdetective.com and have a listen there, or if you've got a question, Twitter at Gadget Detective.
Thank you, Fevzi. We work well at night. For years, Fevzi and I, he won't tell you this, but we used to do a little slot very early on a Saturday morning. But I think we're more effective late at night. Fevzi Turkalp is the one and only Gadget Detective. Check him out online. He can help.